to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Today I'm going to finish the little mini sermon series I started 2 weeks ago. This is the third Sunday. And the sermon series is called The Characters of Christmas. The Characters of Christmas. And we've chosen specific characters in the Christmas story to focus on. But before I get into that a little bit more, I want to start off with a question. When someone says to you, I've got good news and I've got bad news, which do you want to hear first? How many say, I want to hear the bad news first? About half, a little over half. It's like, let's get the bad news over first, and now get good news to cheer me back up. How many say, I'd rather hear the good news first? Kind of fortify yourself to get ready for the bad news? Well, you know what? There's a lot of good news in the world. There's a lot of bad news in the world. Life is filled with good news. Life is filled with bad news. There are things that we are able to rejoice over and enjoy and be glad for, and it's a good thing, because if life was only filled with bad news, we wouldn't want to live. And you know, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the bad news, sometimes people wrestle with that. And maybe not to the point of wanting to commit suicide, although there are people that feel that way, but to the point of like, I'm just ready to be done, you know, whatever. I just want to really encourage you, just in general, to try to make it a habit of always focusing more on the good news, whatever it might be for you in your life, than the bad news. It'll help a whole lot. And I just want to tell you that God has a lot of good news for you. God has a lot of good news for all of us. And I want to tell you something. God's good news is always much better than any bad news that you might receive. And today we want to focus on the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas. Like I said, the title of the message is The Characters of Christmas, and we're going to be looking at some characters who are the first ones to hear the good news of Christmas. In the 2 weeks leading up to this, we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the character trait we focused on for her was her willing submission to God and his will for her life and to be used by God to bring the Savior into the world. Then last week we talked about Joseph, and Joseph was also submissive, but we focused more on his obedience, that after that surrender to God, he found out what God's plan was, didn't understand it, he just says, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. And again, Mary did the same thing. All these character traits are involved in all of the characters, but we focused on his obedience, his faithful obedience. But today we're going to take a look at the shepherds. We don't know their names, but the character trait that I want to focus on for them is their belief. Their belief. Now, they were faithful, they were obedient, all those other kinds of things, but we see a lot about their belief in the story, a story that's probably very familiar to you, but I'm praying that God will bring it alive to us afresh and anew today. So as I said, the shepherds were the first to hear and respond to the good news about Jesus' coming to earth and what that was all about. We're going to jump into the story in Luke chapter 2. The actual text that's the focus of the story begins in verse 8, but we're going to start in verse 4 to get the background, okay? So, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him or for them in the inn. Now we get to the start of the story we're going to focus on today. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." We'll continue on with the story here in just a little bit. So we have Mary and Joseph. They've come to Bethlehem for a tax census registration. There's not enough room for them in regular lodging, so they're in this stable. And Mary has the baby and lays him in a manger, which is basically a feeding trough. We're all kind of familiar with the story. But in the fields around Bethlehem are these shepherds. Bethlehem is only about 6 miles from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where the temple is. It's where people go to worship God. And at that time, part of their culture and God's instructions to them, sacrifices were offered to take care of the sin problem.
In the process of recording our service, for some reason, our audio dropped for about 4 minutes. So we're going to have to skip over those 4 minutes, but we'll pick the sermon back up when the audio came back in. Sorry for the inconvenience.
So they were able to believe the good news because they heard it. Let's go back to our story and back up just a verse or two and start in verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's talking about Bethlehem, "a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So they believe because they heard the good news. How do they hear the good news? An angel came. There's only a couple times in Scripture where angels show up to bring a message, and many times it's good news. Sometimes it's bad news. Sometimes it's an announcement of God's judgment coming because of God's people, their unfaithfulness and their rebellion against him. But many times it's good news, and this angel shows up and says, "I've got good news for you." Now, here's a little trivia thing that maybe a lot of you people know, but if you don't, the term "good news" in Greek is translated "gospel." So when you see gospel, that literally means good news. When you see good news, that means gospel. And you've heard about the gospel. And the gospel, or good news, is mentioned over 100 times in the books of the New Testament. And the good news in the gospels and the good news in the New Testament is always about Jesus. Now granted, there's a lot of other things that can be good news for us. But in Scripture, the focus is on the fact that the most important good news we can receive is Jesus Christ and what he came to do because of who he is. And as we think about good news, we can use good news today. As we've already mentioned, there's so much bad news. You know, all you got to do is, I know this is dated a little bit, if you happen to still be one of those people that look at a newspaper, very few people do that anymore, you know, or you look at a news source online or watch it on TV or any number of other places you can go to see what's happening in the world, there's a lot of bad news. In fact, there's probably more bad news than good news. But that doesn't mean there's more bad stuff going on than there's good stuff. Just let you know that. You know why? You probably already know this. You know why there's more bad news than good news in all the public arenas where you can access it? Because it draws people attention more. It sells more. Okay? It gets people riled up more, so they got to pursue it more. I wish there was just as much excitement about good news as there is bad news, because there'd be a whole lot more of it reported. I just wanted to emphasize that because, again, we can sometimes feel that this world is so full of bad news and there's not much good going on, but there's always a lot of good going on, especially where God is actively at work. So, he said, "I've got good news for you." And God has good news. Now, many of you already know that because you've already responded to the good news that you've heard. But, you know, out there in the world, that's not the view people have of God. They say, God, if he really exists, he's mean, you know. He just wants to spoil our fun. He just wants to mess things up for us. He doesn't want to, you know, we got problems and he doesn't seem to want to get involved. But, you know, God often gets a bad rap. But I want to tell you something. God has good news. And if by some chance that you're here today or you're watching online and that's kind of the attitude you have about God, I just want to encourage you to reconsider that. Because God does have good news for us. In the midst of all that we're going through, he does have good news. Now, the angel said that this is good news of great joy. Great joy. And that word for great there means like mega, okay? Super. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant and you order something and they say, "Do you want to supersize that?" I want to ask how many of you have ever done that, you know. That usually means they want to give you more than you really should be eating. You know, but it's like it tastes so good. So let's just super. That's kind of the idea here. It's like it's not only joy, it's not only great joy, but it is super duper great joy. You know, what would it take for us to have a message that would fill us with super duper great joy? The angel says that's the kind of message he has. But you know, tucked away toward the end of the passage we just read, the angels also mention peace. That peace is available for people as a result of this good news. And I think of all the things that people long for, probably all the things that we long for. I mean, people ask us, what do you want for Christmas? We may come up with a Christmas list, and we try to buy presents for people that they would enjoy and appreciate, and that's all part of the Christmas tradition. But if it really came down to it, I think people, many people, maybe even most people, would trade all the gifts that they might receive or could receive to have true joy and true peace in their hearts. And I just want to tell you today, it is available. It is available. And many of us experience that. But you know, those of us that are believers, those of us that are followers of Jesus, and we've committed our lives to Christ, and we're living for Him, it's available to us, but sometimes we don't experience it to the fullness. Because we're human. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in the bad news. We don't focus as much on the good news. We get our focus in the wrong place, and we don't depend on God as much as we could. So that's a challenge to us during this season to do that even better, to do that even more, to focus on the good news that we know is true for us. But there's a world out there that they don't know that, or they haven't taken advantage of that. So this good news of great joy. So many people struggle to have joy and peace because of their circumstances, because they're focused on the bad news, and for many, because they don't even have a relationship with God, who is the only person, the only source for true joy and true peace. Another part of the good news is, he said, is for all the people, for all the people. I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear about good news like, oh, that's good news, and I find out I'm not qualified. You know, whether it's a certain tax break, you know, or... And isn't that how scams proliferate, right? You know, I hate it that there's so many people, I guess it's always been true, people out there in the world trying to take advantage of people and rob people, and they have developed many different ways of doing it through the years, all the way back from the one guy who says, hey, I've got a really great goat to sell you, you know, up to today, where you get an email saying, hey, I've got $2 million in a bank in Africa, and you're the only one that can help me get it out, and I'll give you half. It just amazes me that some people fall for that. If you fall for that, I didn't mean to insult you, but I'm just saying, so many scams, so many things that sound so, I wish that was true. And that old saying, if it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. But you know, every once in a while, we hear about some really good news. But most of the time, it isn't for everybody, it's just for certain people. I can think of the best example I can think of, and I've shared this before, it was years ago, so it'd be new to some of you may have heard it before, but I remember when my wife's parents passed away during COVID. They both passed away of COVID within 5 days, and a very difficult time, but joy-filled because they knew the Lord, and they were pastors. We had a wonderful double funeral, but I remember we were making the arrangements, the final arrangements, and we went to the funeral home, and the funeral director told us, listen, because of all that's going on with COVID right now and everything, that the government has passed this thing where if there are people that have passed away because of COVID, and it's stated on their death certificate, they will FEMA will pay up to $9,000 toward their funeral expenses. It's like, that's good news. We got to check that out. And so we did. And you know what? Both of my wife's parents' funerals were paid for because of money that was available. But it was only available to people. It wasn't even available to everybody who had died at that time. But it was only available to those who had died of COVID. It wasn't available to anybody else. It was very narrow. But the angel says here that this good news is for everybody. And we see it in this story because the very first people to hear the good news are the shepherds. And in their culture, their society, they were considered the lowest. I mean, you got people that are lower than that in their culture, like the tax collectors and sinners and the prostitutes and whatever. But as far as normal everyday people, the shepherds were on the lowest rung of society. But as probably many of you, most of you, maybe all of you are aware that the message also got out to these three highly placed, well, tradition says three. Scripture doesn't tell how many. wise men or magi or kings from the east at the highest level of their society, and they were total strangers to God's nation of people, but yet they got the good news too. And I can't help but wonder if God put those two stories in there to help illustrate that this good news is from the very lowest to the very highest, as society would categorize them. Because in God's sight, everybody's important. Everybody's significant. Everybody's significant. So it's available to everybody. But what is this good news? It's all wrapped up in that one short statement. He said, the angel said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus showed up. He doesn't use the name Jesus here, but we saw in the previous two stories with Mary and Joseph that the angel, when he showed up to Mary and to Joseph and told them what was going on and what was going to happen, he told both of them, now when the baby is born and dedicated, because he actually was named at his dedication, you're to name him Jesus. And he told Joseph specifically because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus literally means God saves. God is Savior. But here the angel talks about Jesus as being a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And a Savior is something we can relate to. If we're saved from something, that means we're delivered, we're rescued. In this case, it's talking about being delivered and rescued from sin and its power and its condemnation and the eternal consequences of the sin in our life, which the Bible says is eternal separation from God. And he says he will be Savior and he will be Christ. And I've said this many times, but in case you don't know it, we often think of Christ as being Jesus' last name. You know, Jesus Christ, Jesus is his first name, Christ is his last name, and Christ isn't even a name. Christ is a title, and it literally means the anointed one. And all through the Old Testament, we see kind of a growing understanding of God's plan and purpose and how he was going to one day send someone from the line of Abraham and then from the line of King David who would be the ultimate king, who would be the ultimate deliverer, who would be the one sent from God to save people, to make things right, to deal with all the evil in the world. And the Jewish people, you know, got the idea because it was there that he was going to set up God's kingdom again. And so in Jesus' day, they were looking for this Messiah. And the angel says, he's coming. In fact, he's just been born. But a little unexpected part of it is the fact that he says, he is the Lord. And the word that is used there is the exact word that was used all through the Old Testament to refer to God Almighty himself. But it was also used to talk about somebody that you respected, somebody who was over you. And so there's a hint here that this one who's coming is not just an important person and an important figure in God's plan and purposes for the world, but he's God himself come to earth in the flesh. So the fact that God had sent this Savior, this Messiah, who is the Lord, it's what we all need, isn't it? We all need a Savior. But the question is, do we recognize that we do? You see, there's a lot of people you could tell this good news to. They say, oh, who cares? I've heard that before. And chances are it's because either they don't believe it or they don't believe they need a Savior. They think they're good enough or they don't care about their relationship with God. But you know, when we really realize that we need a Savior, when we really realize we need somebody to come into our lives and help straighten it up and get it right, we need someone that we can make things right between us and God, then we're much more inclined to be glad for that news and to want to respond to it. I mean, it's sort of like if the news were to come out tomorrow, great news for Christmas time, that they discovered a surefire cure for, say, pancreatic cancer. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? But who would it be really good news for? People with pancreatic cancer, right? Well, this is good news for everybody, whether they realize it or not, because we're all sinners separated from God. And by sending Jesus, by Jesus coming, God himself coming to earth in the flesh, he set into motion here on the earth a plan that had been in place since before God created the world to save people from their sins. The most basic facts of it that we see throughout Scripture is that we, as human beings, are all sinners separated from God. And the wages of our sin, what we deserve, what we've earned because we sin, is death. And that's not just physical death, but spiritual death, which is separation from God not only now, but for all eternity. And God is the source of all that is good and wonderful and marvelous. And so what we've all earned is to be separated from all that is good and wonderful and marvelous for all of eternity. But God loved us so much, he did something about it. The passage says, the wages of sin is death, goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Christmas is really all about. Christmas isn't here just so we can have another reason to celebrate, spend time together with family, eat too much food, good food, give gifts to one another. But Christmas is all about, that's when Jesus came. And his whole purpose for coming was not just to be a good man and teach some good things and give people a good example and some nice stuff to live by to make things better. But he came to live a perfect life as God in the flesh and to die a death he didn't deserve to pay the price for our sins. And that's what the good news is all about. The angel didn't share all that, because even if he had shared all those details, they wouldn't have understood it. The shepherds didn't understand the full impact of what all was happening, but they understood the first part of it, and they responded to what they did understand. But that's what it came down to. That if we will turn to God and confess our sins and repent and by faith trust in the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that we can be saved from our sins and have a relationship with God. And that's the most important thing you can hear today, especially if you need that Savior. And if you do, I encourage you and challenge you and I pray for you, because maybe you're one of those that says, I don't, you know, Jesus, yeah, great tradition, nice story. I don't need to worry about that. I'm not a bad person, whatever. But my prayer for you is that if you have not yet surrendered your life to Christ, have not yet asked God to forgive you of your sins and put your trust in him and committed yourself to live in him, that today you would do that. But for that to happen, you've got to be convinced, I need a Savior. There's only so much I can do to convince you, but I pray that God's Holy Spirit would convince you, not to condemn you or make you feel terrible. I mean, if that's what it takes, that's fine, but it can all be taken care of by turning to Christ. That's what the good news is all about. That's what this good news is all about. Well, the shepherds believed the good news because they heard it. But that isn't all they did. And this next step's really important too. They believed because they investigated the good news. In other words, they heard the good news, but then they went to check it out. Okay? Let's look at verses 15 and 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They said, oh, the angel said this is the good news. And they said, we would know it if we go look by finding this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. Now, that's a pretty significant sign. It's not something you're going to see every day. You know, just because Mary put Jesus in a feeding trough, that's not to say that all women put their babies in feeding troughs. There's no evidence that that was ever the thing you did with your babies, okay? But they believed because they investigated the good news. Again, you got that whole thing about, you know, something seems to be too good to be true. Chances are maybe it is too good to be true, but they checked it out and they found out, hey, it sounds too good to be true that the Messiah has actually shown up. Let's go check it out. I told you the illustration of the money that was available for people who died of COVID, you know, from the government to pay for their funerals. As soon as we heard about it, it's like, that sounds too good to be true. But you know, it's so good, and we were talking to somebody we kind of trust. It's like, we got to check it out. You know, if we check it out and find out, well, no, it was just a rumor, or no, there's other qualifications or whatever. I'll be honest with you, it sounded so good. I thought, okay, they're probably doing something like that, but we're probably going to go through the process, check it out, apply for it, and find out, well, you don't really qualify because of this or because of that. But we did qualify. But if we wouldn't have taken the time to check it out, if we'd have just thought, well, maybe they're doing something like that, but I don't think we're going to qualify, we never would have received the benefit of it. It would never have been such a blessing to the family. And in the same way, the shepherds investigated the good news. And I just want to tell you that, you know, we talk about faith. We talk about accepting God's truth by faith, and we need to do that. But that doesn't mean that we should be ignorant. That doesn't mean that God expects us to just accept things when there is supporting truth without investigating it. In fact, I just came to my mind. One of my favorite scriptures in the book of Acts is when Paul's going from town to town preaching the gospel. And he goes to this place called Berea, and he's preaching the gospel. And it talks about how the people of Berea were more honorable and more built up, or more thought well of, because they took what Paul said and they investigated it, compared it to God's word to make sure it really was true. And I want to emphasize this, because sometimes people just totally and completely reject the truth, reject the gospel, the good news, without investigating it. And again, if by some chance you're here today, for whatever reason you're here, but you don't really believe all this stuff, or you're watching online, or you're watching it later, or listening to it later, and you're kind of in that mindset, maybe you're here to please somebody else, or just to be with somebody else, I just want to challenge you. This is much too important a thing, a situation, a set of information to just dismiss it without investigating it. Because it affects not only our lives here and now, but it affects all eternity. And if it's true, it has a tremendous impact on your eternity. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. You need to investigate it. And to be honest with you, that's what we all need to do for all truth. You know, anything that is presented to us as truth, we need to compare it with God's word. From the very beginning, after Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again and ascended into heaven, and he sent his disciples out to share the good news of salvation that was available through his death and resurrection. He made it very clear, and then Peter made it very clear, and Paul made it very clear that right away there would arise false teachers, even within the church. They said, you've got to know the truth. That's why it's so important that we take the time to study God's word ourselves, and to be in environments like this where it can be taught and preached. There we go. Got this backwards. All right. So that we can learn God's word and we can know what the truth is, because there's a lot of falsehood that's floating around out there in the world. And I don't mean things that are just totally anti-God, but things that proclaim to be of God. Cults who claim to be Christians and can spout all the right words, but you look at what they really believe and it's contrary to what Scripture says. Other types of teachings that can float around and sound really good, but when you compare it to God's word, it's not exactly right. And God says that we need to know the truth. So we need to investigate the truth. But in this case, we're talking about the good news. And the shepherds believed because they investigated. They went and they checked it out. Okay? And they found that everything that the angel said was true. Now, this made a tremendous difference in their lives. What were the results? What were the results of them believing the good news? The third truth I want to emphasize here is their belief resulted in action. We've already read about that a little bit. They said, let us go. Let's check it out. So they took off. They did it. But let's pick up the story again. We're going to overlap just a little bit. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Now, I'll tell you something. Good news, whatever type of good news it is, won't do you a lot of good unless you act on it. I mean, you got to believe it. You can investigate it, but if you don't do anything about it, it won't do you a lot of good. Now, I'm going to use an illustration. This is not a real life illustration. Don't hear me wrong on this and think it's true, okay? But if I were to tell you, I found out that in honor of Christmas and the great need there is in our community, that our Walmart, and I won't even mention which one because has said that for people that will show up tomorrow between 9 and 10 and go to the customer service desk, they're going to give you a gift card for $200 to buy groceries for the Christmas season. Now, if I told you that, how would we know who believed me? The people that showed up, right? I mean, you could say, oh, yeah, that's good news. I believe you. I'm going to check it out online. But if you didn't show up, you probably didn't believe me. So don't show up there, because I told you this is just an illustration. How would somebody actually get the free groceries? They'd have to show up. They'd have to get in line. They'd have to go through that line, maybe out the door. But they're going to wait, and they're going to get that $200 gift card, and they're going to get their groceries. And the same thing is true of the good news that God offers to us. You can know it. You can quote it. You can research it back. You can say it backwards and forwards. You say, I really believe this. But if it doesn't change your life, you don't really believe it, at least not fully. And not to the degree where it can make a difference. You see, if you really believe the good news, it'll make a difference in your life. True faith, true belief always results in actions. We see this illustrated in what the shepherds did. They decided to go and see for themselves. I mean, they could have just stayed where they were and say, hey, that's great news. Okay, back to the fire, you know. Who's got the s'mores? Whatever. They say, yeah, that is great news. But no, they're so excited. It's like, we got to do something about this. So they went. I love that it says in verse 16 that they went with haste. This is exciting to them. This is important to them. It says that they searched. They only had this one sign. Find a baby that's laying in a manger. Find a baby that's laying in a feeding trough. So they searched until they found it. Now, Bethlehem was not a big, giant town. But it was big enough, it probably took them a little while to find it. But they actively looked for it, and they found it. And so I would ask today, have you believed the good news that we're talking about? And if you claim to have believed it, has it made a difference in your life? Has your life changed? Is it changing? You know, because we're all in process. We're all got stuff we're still working on. But are you allowing that good news to make a difference to where you say, Lord, I want to love and serve you with all my heart. I want to please you. I got a lot of stuff I got to work on, and I need your help because I can't do it by myself. But is your life changing? Here's an important thought. Did they know and understand everything about Jesus at this point? No. Did they know and understand all the things and kind of figure out and have in their mind how it's all going to work out? No. But you know what they did? They responded to the truth that they had. And you know, that's what God asks us to do, to respond to the truth that we have. And that brings a very important point that I want to emphasize here, and that is sometimes people will say, okay, I know some about that, I believe some about that, but I don't have enough information yet. I don't have all my questions answered yet. And it's good to search out. It's good to study. It's good to get answers to your questions. And again, this is a subject that's so important that you get the answers to your questions to the best that you can. But you know what? You don't have to have all your questions answered to respond to God's call on your life. And again, I would just challenge you and encourage you that if you're one of those people, it's like, I'm kind of leaning that way, or at least I'm considering it or whatever, but I still got a lot of questions. And I don't understand if God is really this way, then why did that happen or whatever? Those are great questions. And I'll be honest with you, I would love and enjoy the opportunity to sit down and try to help you work through any questions that you might have, especially if you believe it's a question that's keeping you from coming to God. I would love to help you explore that, to hopefully open that door to where you can say, yes, I'm ready to respond to God's call in my life, is drawing me to himself. But you don't have to have all the questions answered. I don't have all my questions answered either. But you know what? I know God well enough, and I've seen him at work in my life long enough. I don't have a problem with unanswered questions. I still study. I still look for the answers. And I know that some of the questions won't be answered until I get to heaven. But I'm fine with that because I know I can trust God, because I've experienced it for myself. You say, but I haven't yet. That's okay. But you don't have to understand everything to respond to God. So don't put it off. Don't put it off. So their belief in the good news resulted in action, but their belief resulted in them sharing the good news with others. I kind of alluded to that, mentioned that earlier. If we look back at verse 17, and when they saw it, talking about the baby lying in the manger, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. They made known what they had seen. They made known what they had heard from the angel. They made known that they had found the baby. And the way this is worded says, all who heard it wondered. I think it's talking about more people than just Mary and Joseph. I'm sure when they showed up and they found the baby Jesus lying in the manger, that they shared with Mary and Joseph what had happened. But it seems to indicate here that they went out and started sharing the news with a bunch of other people too. This is great news. It's for everybody. It's fantastic. We've got to tell everybody we can. And it says that all who heard it wondered. And you know what? They could have kept it to themselves. That wouldn't have been God's plan. But they didn't. They went out and shared it. And to refer for the last time back to the illustration I was using, as soon as we found out about that money that was available to help pay for funerals for those who died of COVID, we began to tell everybody we could. We announced it here at the church, and when there was somebody passed away, we shared it with families. In fact, we helped one particular family through the process of applying for it and all that kind of stuff. And we were so glad to be able to share that news with people, especially people that were in great need and didn't have other resources. But you know what? The story of the gospel, the good news of a Savior, is so much more significant than that. But sometimes we hesitate to share it with other people. And there's a number of reasons for that. I think we get so used to hearing it, whatever. And plus, we know that if we do share it with others, they may not respond in a positive way. In fact, they may respond in a negative way. They may not be interested. But you know what? We've got to get over that, because the results of whether somebody hears the good news and responds to it or not are so significantly important, because it affects their eternity. My prayer and my encouragement for me today is that I would be more enthusiastic, more aggressive. When I say aggressive, I don't mean like shoving it in people's faces, but more willing to step out of my comfort zone to share the good news with other people. And I believe God would challenge all of us to do that today. It says that they shared what they had been told. I believe they must have shared what they'd seen and experienced. We talk about being a witness for Jesus. And what is a witness? If you just think of the basic meaning of the word witness, like in a court, it's somebody who's called into a court situation. And what is it that they're supposed to share? What they know. What they know because they saw it or they heard it. And so you see, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and he's forgiven you of your sins, it doesn't matter where you are in the process of trying to grow in him. You have experienced something, and you can share what you've experienced, and we should. You know, Peter says that we should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Sometimes we excuse not saying much because, well, I don't know enough, and I can't answer everybody's questions, and I get that. And we need to learn and study and understand more about the truth and the questions people might have. And the good news is, if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, there's a really good answer. It's like, I don't know. You can be honest. I don't know it all, but I'll help you find the answers. But we can always share what God has done in our lives. The last thing, their belief in the good news resulted in action and them sharing with others, but their belief resulted in joy and worship. Let's look at the last two verses, verses 19 and 20. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They returned with joy, glorifying and praising God. You know why they were so excited? Because after they heard the good news, they responded to it, they believed it, they went out and told everybody, their whole lives changed. Now they were rich. All their needs were met. They had big houses and... right? I mean, did their circumstances change at all? I mean, not that we can tell in the story. They went back, watching the sheep in the fields around a campfire. But even though their circumstances weren't changed, their whole lives were changed. And the same thing is true. This good news, it may not change every circumstance of life that we wish it would, although we do have that promise of God as our Father who wants to help us with everything that we face. But yet, we can still experience the joy as they did because of the meaning of that good news. And so the last thing that I believe God would challenge us with today, and I already alluded to that earlier, is that if you find your mind being drawn to all the negative, to being drawn to all the bad news out there in the world or all the bad stuff that's going on in your life, to not deny it, to not ignore it, to not pretend it isn't real, but to spend more time focusing on God's good news and his love for you. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, that we can know that this world and this life is not all that there is, and that God is actively involved in our lives. And as we trust in Him, He will help us through, and He will bring good out of our bad. Maybe not at the timing we want or how we want, but knowing that whatever He does because He loves us and wants what's best for us. So I encourage you, I don't know what this season has been like for you. As we're entering this time of Christmas, Christmas is only a week and a half away. Whether you've been filled with joy because things are going pretty well for you, or maybe it's been kind of tough for whatever the circumstances might be in your life, I encourage you to become part of a third group of people who are filled with joy no matter what's going on in your life. Because you have confidence in God's love for you, and He saved you from your sins, if that's true, and He's at work in your life. May you be filled with joy at this Christmas season because of the good news. Now, there's no indication that this may be true, but could you imagine if after the angel had shown up and given this good news and he left, if there had been some shepherds who just stayed behind? They heard the message, but they didn't act on it. That's the reason why so many people don't experience the peace and the joy that God offers, because they hear the message, but they don't act on it. So today I encourage you to act on that good news. If you've not yet surrendered your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you, if you have, to live your life surrendered to Him, knowing that He's at work in your life, and as you cooperate with Him, He's going to bring about good in your circumstances, whatever that might be. I want to encourage you to trust in God's promises to take care of whatever you're facing that causes you today to fear or to despair or to be concerned. And I want to encourage you to share your good news with others. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to invite our elders and prayer team and staff to come. And as always, we're going to be down here available to pray with and for anybody that would like prayer today. Our worship team is going to lead us in some worship. And during this time, I encourage you to contemplate what God has spoken to your heart about today. To make any decisions or commitments that He's calling you to do. To be focused on His goodness. But before we open it up for prayer, I just want to ask, are you here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor, I need a Savior. The good news is that you sent one. Jesus, God Himself, came to earth to be that Savior. And today is the day I realize I need a Savior. And I realize that I've got to ask Him for that. I can't just be saved by being good and doing all these other things, that I'm a sinner and I need what Jesus did on the cross for me. And today is the day. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Amy, say, I need a Savior today. I need a Savior today. See that hand. Anybody else? So you want to respond to God? All right. I want to say a prayer. There may be those that are watching online. And I would say that if you need a Savior today, that this is the type of thing you need to say in your own words. And I encourage you and I challenge you to do that. And it would be to pray something like this. God, I am before You today, and I thank You for Your love for me. I thank You that even though I'm a sinner, and I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior, that You love me so much that Jesus came to be that Savior. And it cost a great cost, His life. Your word says that He died to pay the price for my sins. And I ask that You forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I surrender my life to You, and I put my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I ask, Father, that You'd help me to live for You. Help me to walk the life, to live out that life that You want me to live. And I thank You that You did that for me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say another prayer for all of us. Then we're going to open up this time. For if you need someone or want someone to pray with you about anything or for someone else that you're concerned about, I want to invite you to come and to do that. And I challenge you, as I always do, to not just leave immediately, but spend some time in God's presence interacting with what he speaks to you about before you leave, and then you can leave whenever you choose. God, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you, Lord, for challenging us once again from your word. And God, we pray that the challenge that you have issued to us, and that's different for each and every one of us, that we would respond, we wouldn't ignore it, we wouldn't push it aside, but that we would say, Lord, I want to live out what you've spoken to me, whatever that might be. I want to trust you more fully. I want to be more surrendered to you. I want to experience your joy in the midst of the difficulties that I'm facing right now. I want to be more used by you to share the good news for others with others, Lord, whatever that might be. God, I pray that you would do that in our lives. I pray that this Christmas season, Lord God, would be a great time of celebrating with family and friends. But it would also be a time of deepening our relationship with you and our appreciation for what Jesus came to do and what he did in our lives and our willingness to share it with others. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.